passages, as I hope you can see, you really have to take them in their entirety. You really can't just pick and choose, because then you kind of lose the thrust and the beautiful words that we're going to hear our Lord speak. So Ezekiel 34, the first 24 verses, and the first 18 verses of John 10. So first, we'll hear from the prophet Ezekiel. Brothers and sisters, this is God's holy word. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who are sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth. And no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd. Nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, Indeed, I myself will search out for my sheep, and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and will gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in good fold, and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and feed them in judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between ram and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and have drunk of the clear waters, that you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will be a judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them, and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. If you turn over now to John chapter 10. John 10, beginning at verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I have come, that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling, does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." Thanks be to God for His Word. I read a story some time ago of a missionary who was in Africa. And him and his wife were down at the beach. And as they were down there, they saw three shepherds come with their flocks. They were giving their sheep a saltwater bath, allowing their sheep to go into the water to bathe. And as this missionary and his wife were watching this event happening, they soon realized that the sheep were starting to intermingle. They could see no way to separate the sheep again. But after some time, the shepherds started to walk away, humming and singing in a low voice. As soon as the sheep heard the voice of their shepherd, they immediately followed. And within a few minutes, the three flocks were separated, following their shepherd. Now this is probably a pretty ordinary event across much of the world. But for those of us who have only seen a flock of sheep on TV, this is an amazing thing to see, to hear about. Sheep hearing the voice of their shepherd and following them. But this is precisely the understanding that Christ uses as he is speaking to the people in John 10. Sheep who know their shepherd's voice. True shepherds who sacrificially lead their sheep. So think with me this morning about the shepherd from the Lord, which we heard would come in Ezekiel 34, and who did come in the person of Jesus Christ. So consider with me this morning the good shepherd, the good voice, and finally, the good door. And may we, brothers and sisters, truly hear the voice of our good shepherd and experience the blessings of going in and out of that good door. Well, before we look a little closely at what Christ tells us in John 10, we need to consider the context of where this speech comes in Jesus' ministry as it is given to us in John. Earlier in John 9, we hear that Jesus and his disciples were passing by a crowd. And there was a beggar who was sitting there blind from birth. And the disciples see that man and ask Jesus, "Who sinned? Was it this man or his parents? Who sinned so that this man would be born blind?" Well, Jesus declares to his disciples that he is the light of the world. And this man was born blind so that the glory of the Lord could be revealed. It would be displayed before the people. So what does Jesus do? He gives sight to this man who was born blind. And the Pharisees were around and they had to investigate this case. Was this man truly born blind? They had to ask him. They asked his parents to verify his story. Was he actually born blind, or was Jesus just doing a trick to deceive the people? Do you remember how that story ended? We're told that the man was essentially excommunicated, cast out of the synagogue. He was excommunicated for giving glory to the Lord and confessing Jesus to be the Messiah, that he was from God. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, were supposed to be the true shepherds of Israel. But they showed glaring irresponsibility. Chapter 9 ends with Jesus telling the Pharisees that they are the ones who were really born blind. And worse, they now bear the guilt of seeing the works of God on display for all to see, but denying them, thinking that they were just a trick that Jesus used. So Jesus goes on to say in our text in John 10, is directed to the Pharisees. And we also can understand that there are other people around hearing these words. Most likely the person who was born blind was healed is there as well. So what does Jesus say? That brings us to our first point, the good shepherd. If you're familiar with the Bible at all, you know that there are many places throughout Scripture that use the imagery of sheep and shepherds to characterize the relationship between the people of God and the leaders of the people, but also between God and His people. Listen to how Jacob speaks in Genesis 48. The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. David begins Psalm 80 with these words, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock." And finally, in the Exodus from Egypt, God led his people out of Egypt like a shepherd leading them, going before them, protecting them from the armies, bringing them to the Red Sea, providing them bread and meat. God truly did come down to his people and was really truly their shepherd. But not only was the Lord the shepherd of Israel, throughout Israel's history, he appointed under-shepherds to serve the people for him. This is how Joshua was described in Numbers 27. "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them, come in before them, who shall lead them out, bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd." The judges and the kings later of Israel in 2 Samuel 7 were called to be shepherds of the people. They were to protect the people. They were to make sure that they were being fed and nourished, not only physically, but spiritually as well, to lead the people in the observance of God's law. So you can see that there's a very intimate connection between shepherds and the sheep throughout the Old Testament. And these shepherds are being used by God to help us understand that their relationship to Him was as sheep to a shepherd. And as we are now on this side of the coming of Jesus Christ, we can see how they point then to Jesus Christ as our good shepherd. But things didn't always go so well in Israel, did they? Throughout Israel's history, they had some terrible shepherds. Now, children, I'm sure many of you have had to stay home with a babysitter as your parents went out for the evening. Usually your parents tell the babysitter, this is where the food is at. These are things that the kids like. Make sure they're fed. Put them to bed. But what if as soon as your parents leave, she puts you outside, throws you some bread and water while she makes food for herself, sits on the couch and eats the good food? What would your parents say when they came home? They would be angry. They'd be furious. The babysitter wasn't doing her job. She actually put you in danger by throwing you outside in the cold. You weren't well fed. She did not do her job. Well, that's precisely what the Lord is saying to the shepherds of Israel. They were not doing their job. These were the priests and the Levites who were to guide the people in the observance of God's law, make sure they were fed. But they used their power. They used their position selfishly. They didn't take care of God's sheep, God's children, His people. Remember those very harsh words we read in the beginning of Ezekiel 34. Thus says the Lord God, "Ah, shepherds of Israel, who've been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. With force and harshness you have ruled them." So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for the wild beasts. So God sent His prophets time and time again to these shepherds, reminding them, this is your duty before the Lord. This is what the Lord has called you to do. Do it. The shepherds didn't even come close to modeling the shepherding that God required of them. In fact, the Lord says in Ezekiel 34, "Behold, I'm against the shepherd." That's it. I've had enough. So in John 9 and 10, when Jesus then confronts the Pharisees, who are supposed to be the shepherds of Israel, all these Old Testament pictures and texts come into the background. This is, in fact, what Jesus says in verse 8. "All who came before me are thieves and robbers." Speaking of thieves and robbers, this is how Jesus starts his speech in verse 1. He immediately puts into the minds of his hearers this picture of somebody climbing over the wall into the sheep pen. That person cannot be the shepherd of the sheep. He has to be a thief and a robber, sneaking in, not going through the door. How do most of you get into your house? Through the front door or maybe even the garage? So if you were driving down the street and you saw somebody climbing in a side window, you'd probably call the police. The house is getting robbed. What else could it be? Somebody's going through a window. So that's what Jesus is doing. He's pointing a finger to the religious leaders. They are the ones who have climbed in over the wall. They're not true shepherds of Israel. They're in fact thieves and robbers, taking from the sheep, getting fat themselves, instead of giving that back to the sheep of God. Remember what Jesus called the temple court when he threw out the money changers? He called it a den of robbers. People were getting rich, physically rich, off of God's people, the sheep of God. Ezekiel in chapter 22 also says this about Israel's princes, the leaders, the physical leaders of the people, who were also called to be shepherds. "Israel's princes are in her midst, are like wolves, tearing the prey, shedding blood, destroying lives to get dishonest gain." Shepherds of Israel were acting like wolves, destroying the flock. Jesus says in John 10:12, the shepherds were to protect the sheep from the wolves, not become wolves themselves. That's how bad things have become in the Jewish religious establishment of Jesus' day. In Matthew 23, we have recorded Jesus' 7 woes against the scribes and the Pharisees. The first woe fits in with our text this morning. When the scribes and the Pharisees went out and evangelized a convert, did they make him one of the sheep? No, Jesus says, they made him twice as much a child of hell as themselves. The shepherds were creating wolves. Remember I said earlier that God essentially said that he's done. He's had it with the false shepherds. Finally, God was going to come down. God was going to do something for his sheep. And I hope you noticed when I read Ezekiel 34, all the times that God says, "my sheep." Sometimes it's these very little words, those little personal possessive pronouns that make all the difference, don't they? These are God's sheep. He owns them. They're His sheep. He is going to intervene. He's going to take control of the situation. So what was God's plan? How was God going to do this? Well, listen to what God says through Ezekiel. I will rescue my sheep. I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I will bring them out and bring them into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains. I will feed them with good pasture. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. In fact, God says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. God was going to do it. All those things the false shepherds weren't doing, God was going to do. God was going to do it himself. He was going to come down and shepherd his people. So how is God going to do this? Well, Ezekiel records in verse 23, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. He shall feed them. He shall feed them and will be their shepherd. God said that he himself was going to be Israel's shepherd. He was going to send over them one shepherd to be their shepherd. Well, God could only be speaking through Ezekiel of Jesus Christ, the God-man. Truly, he was going to be the Lord's shepherd. That's precisely what happened, isn't it? God became incarnate. God himself came down to be the shepherd of his people. Jesus Christ calls himself that one good shepherd in John chapter 10. Isn't that amazing? God himself becomes the shepherd of his people. No longer would there be false shepherds over God's sheep. No longer will there be wolves coming in and getting fat off of the sheep. The good shepherd has come. He is here, just as God had promised. So how does Jesus describe himself as this good shepherd? The good shepherd is one who lays down his life for the sheep. He doesn't run away and flee when the wolves come, like so many of Israel's former shepherds had done. They fled. Jesus doesn't. Jesus lays down his life. And it's interesting how Jesus says he does this. He's stating a fact. He lays down his life for the sheep. He doesn't say, I might lay down my life for the sheep, or I will lay down my life at some point. No, Jesus says he's laying down his life already for the sheep. No one takes his life from him, but he does it on his own accord. He isn't forced to do something that he doesn't want to do. He voluntarily gave himself to be the shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. The words of Paul in Philippians 2, Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Even before going to the cross, the ultimate act of laying down his life, Jesus was suffering and humbling himself. Throughout his whole earthly life, he was laying down his life for the sheep. But again, Jesus is speaking here again of the ultimate laying down of his life. The words of Paul again. Humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's shepherd did what only the good shepherd could do. He died for the sheep. He died for us. Christ was not a hired hand. He did not flee in the face of death like the shepherds before him did. He didn't even flee in the face of God's overwhelming wrath for the sin of mankind. Instead, he was silent, like a lamb to the slaughter. It's exactly what Isaiah states later in chapter 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. From what we heard earlier, what previous shepherd of Israel would have done that for God's sheep? None of them. Instead of dying for the sheep, they killed them. Even the good King David killed one of the sheep, murdered him to cover up his own sin, or to try to cover up his own sin. But the good shepherd himself was slain for the sheep. In fact, those who were supposed to be the shepherds of Israel, they were the ones who charged Jesus with blasphemy. They were the ones who cried for the freedom of Barabbas and to crucify Jesus Christ, who had no sin, who was laying down his life for the sheep. But that death of the good shepherd would not have the final word. That is not the end of the story, because Christ also has the authority to take up his life again, as he says in verses 17 and 18 of our text. And this work of the shepherd was pleasing to the Father. As Jesus says, "For this reason, the Father loves me." Christ did the work that God commanded him to do on earth. Christ came down with a specific mission. In fact, as Christ said, "This charge I have received from my Father." And God was well pleased with his Son, the good shepherd who has a good voice, which brings us to our second point, the good voice. We all recognize the voices of those we love, don't we? If you're a child and you're doing something wrong and you hear your father's voice in the background, you immediately stop what you're doing, because you know your father is around. If you're lost in a crowd of people, you're scared, but as soon as you hear your mother's voice, you know everything's going to be okay. You start running to that voice, because you understand who your mother is by her voice. She scoops you up in her arms. Sheep are the same way. Remember that story I started with. All the sheep needed to do was to just hear the voice of their shepherd, and they followed that voice. Jesus says in verse 5 that the shepherd, the sheep will not follow a voice of a stranger. In fact, they'll run away. They'll go the opposite direction. It's not a familiar voice. It might be someone who is a thief and a robber that will hurt them, take advantage of them. But Christ's sheep know him, and he knows them. What a beautiful picture. Christ, our shepherd, knows us. He knows you by name. We hear his voice, and we follow him. A little bit later in John 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Christ knows us. Christ will protect us as our good shepherd, because God has given us to him. We are his flock. We are his sheep, and we always will be. Nothing, nobody can snatch us away from Christ's flock. No one can take us out of his hand. We all hear the voice of a shepherd. Everybody in the world hears the voice of their shepherd. But the question is, who is their shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Is your shepherd a false shepherd? A thief? A robber? One who is a wolf in shepherd's clothing? Who snuck over the sheep pen into the sheepfold? Is that your shepherd? Or is your shepherd the good shepherd, the one who is known and loved by the Father? If you don't know the voice of Christ, if you don't hear his call, then ask the Holy Spirit to give you ears to hear, to listen to your good shepherd's voice. In the Bible, there's a warning for those who do not hear their shepherd's voice. In Psalm 95, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test, put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, 'They are a people who go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.'" If you don't hear the voice of Christ as your shepherd, God says to you, "You shall not enter my rest." Well, where and when then do we hear the voice of Christ? Where do we hear this good voice? We hear this voice especially every time God's word is read and preached to you. We heard God speak to us earlier in the words of the law, which show us our sin. But also God spoke to us in the words of the gospel, telling us that our sins are forgiven and we are no longer under the condemnation of God's law. That's God's voice being pronounced to you, proclaiming his word to you. When we hear that word, when we believe in the gospel and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're hearing the voice of our Master. We cannot help but listen to him. If you don't hear Christ's voice, if you don't listen to the voice of your shepherd, Jesus tells you in verse 25, you're not part of his flock. You're not one of his sheep. But for those of us who do hear the voice of Christ, who believe in him and trust in all that he has done for us, he's going to lead us to a place of rest. Which brings us to our final point, the good door. Our good shepherd didn't have to climb over the wall to get to his sheep. He goes through the door. The gatekeeper knows him. He knows he is the true shepherd. But better yet, as Jesus tells us in verse 7 and verse 9, he is the door. The sheep enter into God's rest through him, through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Those familiar words of John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to my Father except through me." Not through anybody else. There's no other shepherd who holds the door to get in to the rest of the Father. Jesus gives his sheep eternal life in his Father's house through himself as the good door. In verse 9, Jesus says that his sheep will be able to go in and out of that good door. This going in and coming out are pointing to covenantal blessings that God had on his people. Have any of you been grounded as a teenager? Maybe some of you are grounded right now. What does that mean? You're under the covenant curses of your parents. You cannot go in and out of your house as you please. You can't go to things that you would like to go to with your friends. You're bearing the covenant curses. But if you don't abuse the privileges your parents give you, if you obey them properly, then you have covenantal blessings, don't you? You can go in and out of your house as you please. This going in and out of the house was promised by God in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 28. "Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out." Psalm 121. "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Christ as a good door is the fulfillment of these promises. Those who are in Christ can go in and out. The door is open. And as the sheep of God going in and out, where are we going to go? What goes through that door? What are we going to find? Jesus tells us we're going to find good pasture. Immediately in this image of sheep and good pasture recalls to your mind Psalm 23, which we sang earlier, doesn't it? The second verse there, the psalmist writes, "The Lord will make his sheep lie down in green pastures, lead them beside still waters." But there are other places in the Old Testament as well that speak of this pasture for God's sheep. We heard some of them earlier from Ezekiel 34. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel they shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. On rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. Isaiah 49. The Lord says to the prisoners, come out to those who are in darkness. Appear, they shall feed along the ways, and all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water he will guide them. These are beautiful images that God has given to us of the good pasture that our good shepherd will bring us to. He will cause us to dwell in them. This is where the door of Christ leads. Well, who then will go through this door? Who will be in those good pastures? The one flock of Christ. In verse 16, Jesus tells his hearers, and other sheep which I have are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They will hear my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, if you remember, some of the people in the crowd that were hearing this were the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes. For many of them, their one purpose was to keep God's people pure, which involved keeping others out. Here, Jesus is saying that he has sheep that are not of the flock that they were looking at. He has sheep from another flock as well. He will gather them and make them into one flock. Namely, Jesus is talking about the Gentiles. Those that the religious leaders were definitely trying to keep out of the flock. But this too was always a plan of God. Something the shepherds of Israel should have known if they were familiar with the Old Testament. Isaiah 56. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. Paul makes this explicit in Ephesians 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 3. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members not of a different body, but of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. People of God gathered here in Linden, Washington. That's probably as far away from Palestine as you can get. We are part of one flock of Christ. We are counted as Christ's sheep, even though we are Gentile sinners. We are partakers in the promise of Jesus Christ as our good shepherd. We hear his good voice, and we go in and out of the door to good pastures. Brothers and sisters, there have always been, there are now, and there will always be many in this world who claim to be shepherds, leading their followers to the good life here and now, when all they're really doing is leading people away from the good shepherd, away from the safe pastures of our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ truly is the Lord's good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He laid down his life for the forgiveness of the sheep's sins. He was raised again for the justification of God's sheep. We hear and we follow Christ's good voice, which proclaims to us, announces to us the gospel for what he has done for us and for our salvation. And finally, we have the blessing of those good pastures that our Heavenly Father gives to us through Jesus Christ, the good door. We don't have to try to find a hole in the wall to sneak into God's pen. The door is open for those who hear Christ's voice. God hasn't left his sheep in the hands of hired men. But indeed, he has sent his Son, the Lord's shepherd. Thanks be to God for his amazing love and his grace to us as his sheep. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we know that we are sheep that would go astray as often as we could. That we have a tendency in ourselves to hear other voices, to follow where itching ears will lead us, to see other shepherds as the good shepherd when all they are false. Lord, may you continue to work in us hearts of faith and in belief in your Son Jesus Christ, to rest in his finished work for us. May we be content in the good green pastures, the still waters that you lead us through. And Lord, we look forward to that day when all things will be made new, when all your sheep, the one flock of many nations, tribes, and tongues, will be manifested in your eternal kingdom. Lord, we look forward to that day. But as we are here now, may we hear the good voice of your good shepherd, and may we have the blessings of going in and out of that good door. In your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.